Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing? It's Trina Mara. And on the line, we have got a fellow by the name of Chris Connolly. And you might be familiar with him from his videos on social media. Get Better with Chris. And first of all, can you just tell everyone how you came to be doing this and what exactly it is that you're doing?
Yeah, so the 32 counties in 32 days is a movement to hope to inspire the whole country to get out moving. At the moment now, we have done 23 counties, and now today we're in Waterford, which is going to be 24.
So you're running all around the country, basically, chatting to people as you run. Now, if anyone's seen your videos, I notice you've had quite a few famous people running alongside you. So you kind of interview these people as you're running and have the chats. First of all, Chris, thanks so much for inviting me on, which you haven't done. I'd be absolutely pointless for you. How did you get all the people to get involved, and who have you had on with you?
So basically what we tried to do is we tried to connect with people of influence or people of stature or people who are in the public eye. So we can start to ask them questions like, how did you get to be where you are today? What obstacles did you overcome to get there? So people can start to realise that each and every one of us are the exact same in some way, shape or form. And if somebody can make it through a hard time and become successful the way most people are, well then they can too.
So you had the likes of, I know I saw the one that you did with Catherine Thomas, she's good at running. You had Volk Williams on, also good at running. Her hubby now has really blown everyone else out of the water with his level of running, Spencer Matthews. How many marathons did he do there in a row?
Yeah, Spencer had done 30 marathons in 30 days in the Sahara Desert. Yeah. And I actually had interviewed him also as well. And that was a fantastic experience, you know. Yeah. It's doing really, really well at the moment. And what I'm trying to do now, heading across the 32 counties of Ireland, is to meet and inspire each and every person way across Ireland to get out moving as well.
So was there anything that you found out during your chats with these people as we were running that really kind of surprised you, Chris?
Not really surprised. I always knew that on the surface level, each and every one of us are connected. We all go through trauma. We all go through hurt. Unfortunately, each and every one of us is going to get our heart broken at some way stage in our lives. And the reality of it is that I just want to let people know that it's all right to be messed up. It's all right to be going through a hard time. And it's all right if you're feeling a little bit sad, a little bit lonely for the moment, because the reality of it is it's not always going to be like that. And there's a way out for each and every one of us to exercise.
Everything's temporary, isn't it, really?
1,000,000%.
And exercise. So you got in, have you always been into exercise, or did you use exercise as a way of getting over a hard time in your life?
Yeah, so I'm a recovering addict, and I found exercise when I was in treatment. And they used to let me go running in treatment. And from there, I just started running and running. And before I knew it, then I started to learn so much about myself. Mm. Because anybody who runs will know that you do be fighting with your mind on the minute-by-minute basis. And I was always one who would pretend that I'd run a certain amount of distance, like the fake 5K runner that done the laps around Ireland. Yeah. I'd pretend to do these distances, and I wasn't getting away with it internally, and I just got fed up being that person who kept lying. And ultimately, I started to stick to my guns, and everything that I said that I was going to do, I made sure that I done. And to this day, it's paid off.
So you set yourself a goal that you were going to do this, and you didn't give up, because sometimes we quit easily, don't we? We can tend to quit things easier. Someone told me a great saying before. It was, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. And I always thought that's a great saying, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the reality of it is, I had so many shortcomings. And on the 6th of November, I'll actually be running 5K every day consecutively for over 600 days. Yeah. And that's 5K minimum. But the reality of it is, I applied the same principle that keeps me sober to my running, just taking it one day at a time. And I always let people know that if it works for me, it can work for anyone.
Bet you never ever thought in a million years this is what you'd be doing when you were in the height of it.
No, never in a million years. And the crazy thing is that now that I'm in it feels so familiar, because back then, I always seen myself being able to do the things I'm doing and communicate with the people I'm communicating. And I went through a phase where I felt a little bit like an imposter. But now it feels so familiar, because this is what I've worked on each and every day for the past 4 years of my life.
And can I ask you, Chris, was it drugs or was it drink, or what was it that you were addicted to?
Yeah, it was a mixture between both. It was drugs, drink, narcotics, anything that I could take in order to get me away from the current state of consciousness that I was in at the time. Yeah. So like even like going down the route of chasing women as well, you know, that's all under the same addiction.
Really? So you were a bit of a womanizer, were you?
Ah, geez, I wouldn't say that, no.
You but, said it, not me, love. You said it.
But the reality of it is, I was always trying to get away from myself. I was never comfortable in my own skin. I always felt vulnerable. I always felt a little bit lost, sad, afraid, anxious. And the reality of it is, it wasn't until I started speaking about it and started speaking about it out loud that I started to feel comfortable.
This sounds mad, right? And you'll get where I'm going with this, because obviously I am on the radio and we're playing music every day, but the lyrics of a Robbie Williams song, Before I Fall in Love, I'm Preparing to Leave Her. Was that you, kind of?
Yeah, commitment issues. Yeah, you're talking to the right guy. Yeah, that's I can't remember the exact name of the rest of the list. But yeah, that's basically what...
That's the song Feel by Robbie Williams, if anyone's wondering.
Exactly,
what song is that? The song Feel,
It's all from trauma, that is. So most people, when they start to go through a specific trauma within their life, especially through hurt, pain, grief or heartbreak, that's a common theme. They can try to leave the other person before the other person decides to leave them, because in that reality, you hold all the power.
Yeah. So what age were you, Chris, when everything started becoming a problem in terms of the addiction and that? Were you quite young?
So we actually started off quite late. I started to fall down the wrong route at 18 years of age, which if anybody knows anything, that's considered quite late. But as soon as I found narcotics, I really, really fell in love with them, and for all the wrong reasons. It was because they gave me a false sense of confidence and a false sense of self-esteem.
When you say narcotics, Chris, what do you mean?
So I started off taking ecstasy. I went on to cocaine. Then I went to weed, and I was using then sleeping tablets and painkillers before ultimately I fell down the road of using crack cocaine. And then I lost my mind completely.
And how were you funding all this? Was there crime involved?
So, I was always good at keeping the jobs that I had. And I used to think that I got away with it, but it's not until you're down the line and you look back and you're like, actually, I didn't get away with that. But you're so delusional to your core that you're trying to fund your addiction in each and every way that you can. Mm. So I used to sell watches, I'd sell clothes, I'd sell PlayStations, and I'd sell each and everything that I possibly could. Toward the end of the addiction, that's when it starts to spiral out of control.
You were selling your own belongings, were you?
My own belongings, yeah. But for the most part of it, I would be working even while I was under the influence.
Were you? And what kind of a job were you doing? Was it casual kind of jobs, or were they a job you were doing a long time?
I was a personal trainer, I was. I was a personal trainer, which is so ironic, where I'm trying to tell people how to live their lives, and I was misusing drinking drugs in order to keep myself afloat, you know.
Wow. So you're telling people how to be healthy, how to be fit, how to look after themselves, and meanwhile you're trying to keep the secret from them.
Yeah.
And did any of your clients cop on to this now and realise there's something going on with him?
Each and every person knew what was going on. Yeah. But the reality of it is, like, I always had something about me, you know. I was always very likeable because I always had good intentions, but I was never able to behave in accordance to those attentions. And it wasn't until I started to go to treatment and I went to rehab that then I started to learn about my behavior, my characteristics, and how to start to hold myself in the accordance of what I was going to say and do.
So what was the moment, Chris, that you thought to yourself, right, I am going to get my you-know-what together here. I'm going to sort my life out. Enough's enough. What was the moment that made you change and go and get the help that you needed?
So towards the end, I ended up going into drug-induced psychosis, which is basically where your mind starts to split into realities. And the reality that I was living in was a reality that there was a hitman coming to shoot me, and he was going to take my life, and my whole family were in on this master plan, which led me to running away to England and sleeping on the streets.
Because you were so convinced that somebody was after you, this hitman that didn't exist.
Yeah, so basically I was so convinced that there was a hitman after me. I was sleeping in bushes and I was sleeping on park benches because I couldn't go to a hotel or anything like that, because it just was so unsafe.
My God. So then how did you get into the treatment? Did somebody come across you, or did you, like, how did you actually end up getting into a treatment plan?
Just by the mercy of God. My mother and father were desperate to get me home. And by the time that they ended up getting me home, and there was a big rigmarole in between this, but by the time they ended up getting me home, I told them that I desperately needed help. And when they said about me going to treatment, at the start, I was very, very hesitant. But then towards the end, I knew that I needed to take the steps that I needed to take in order to get better. And I'd done exactly that.
So your mum and dad saved your life, really, Chris?
Yeah, it was a team effort. You know, my whole family saved my life. God saved my life. And The counsellors down at the treatment centre that I was in also saved my life. You know, I think that each and every one of us needed help. And it's not until you start to let people know that what they're doing, how they're behaving and how they're starting to act on the day-to-day life isn't that normal, you know, because you can very easily be falling down the wrong road and thinking that's normal for the way you've grown up or the location that you're in, you know.
And Chris, can I ask you, just in case somebody is listening today and they have a family member in this situation, like how does a family reach out for the help? How do you find a treatment centre, or what one did you get into? I mean, is it easy for people to access the services?
So basically, like, you can't help anybody who doesn't want to be helped. And the unfortunate thing is, it doesn't matter if you love somebody so unconditionally more than yourself, that person will never be able to change unless they are willing, open and ready to change themselves. And then from there, if they are, well, then you can start to point them in the right direction. I went to Asheree Treatment Facility, which is absolutely exceptional. Probably one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life, regardless of actually trying to get sober. And then if it's the case that somebody doesn't want to take the steps but needs some help, well, then just show them love, show them support, but also show yourself that love and support as well, because anybody knows that when you're in the facility of an addict, they're willing to take each and every person down with them as well.
Yeah, it's very difficult for the families and the loved ones and everybody around you, really, isn't it? And you know, especially if, I know it was sometimes there can be theft, there can be all sorts of things in the family, and to trust the person again. So I'm absolutely amazed. I wasn't expecting the interview to go that route, Chris, because I did not know this background to you. So just to tell everyone again what it is that you're doing, you're running the whole 32 counties of Ireland.
Yeah, so running the whole 32 counties of Ireland in 32 days. The finale will be outside my house, which is going to be Dublin A, Fatima Mansions on Reuben Walk at 6:15 p.m. And the reason why we're running on Friday, the 4th of November.
Yeah.
The reason why we're running out there is because it's the same route that I ran nearly every day since leaving treatment 4 years ago.
Wow.
And we have a headline of special guests, 30 special guests, ranging from influencers to celebrities, and it's taken lead with Danielle de Coronas as well.
Ah, amazing. That'll be one to remember as well, because it's the day after Halloween night. So are you doing this for charity or anything? You're just doing it just to kind
of... So I'm doing it for Shannon's Hope Line. Shannon's Hope Line is a charity that's located in Dublin 8, and basically what they do is they help teens and their teens' mental health. And when I was struggling at the time in my life, when I had just spoke about, they had actually helped me. They had reached out to me and they had given me the support and shown me the time that I needed to have then for me to be able to get better.
Yeah.
So this is the way I am able to give back to them.
Back, yeah. And how old are you now, Chris?
I'm 30 years of age.
30. Wow. And you've just turned everything around. Isn't that amazing? So how can we follow you on your, as you're doing your runs online? They're great crack, like watching you running along. So you're literally running alongside these celebrities having a chat. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And just having the laugh as well, because I always say that the more time you spend laughing, well, then the less time you'll spend crying. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's being able to show people that just when you get sober, it's not doom and gloom, you know, you don't lose out on any fun. So like that's my whole goal. My Instagram and my TikTok is Get Better With Chris.
Get Better With Chris. I'm amazed that you aren't completely out of breath as you're running along. You need to be running faster. You're not, you're supposed to be out of breath.
Yeah, of course.
Well, listen, Chris.
It's all just good fun.
Fair play to you now. Best of luck doing the rest of the counties now over the next week or so. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm delighted now to get to speak to you on the show. And you never know. One of these days, if I ever get fit enough, maybe I'll be running alongside you.
I'll hold you to that.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Classic Radio.